Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. Front to back, pretty good. Pretty good. Who's ever latecomers can sit right up here and right up there. Only one service today, so it's nice to see us worship together. I think we're going to give you the whole barrel today. Way to go. I'm proud of you to be here. What a beautiful week we've had. A couple of things. Oh, everybody who brought their pictures in, thank you. If you haven't looked at those high school pictures, they're worth looking at, okay? There's someone I haven't figured out, but she's not here this morning, so I'm going to have to ask her privately what she looked like. It was Margaret Holmberg. Margaret, she said, you can tell by the nose, but I couldn't tell by the nose. Anyway, if you'd like to take a peek at those pictures, if you'd like to leave them another week, that'd be fine. Next week, today after worship, we've got our annual meeting starting at 10 o'clock, so those who are members, please stay and find out what our church is going. If you're not a member, you can sure stay, but I don't know why you'd want to. That's just me, sorry. Pick up your raffle tickets for the bazaar. They're found in a box in the fellowship hall. Jerry would want me to invite you to join us in the highway pickup on Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock. There's a food safety class signing up. We've got such a wonderful kitchen. There are some things we can be doing that are better. To know, the church gets a bad rap sometimes when people get sick when they eat your hot dish because our hands were dirty or our pots weren't cleaned in the right way. Anyway, they will teach you how all the safety methods that happen in the kitchen. So if you'd like to learn that, if you work in our kitchen, I'd encourage you to take that class. Flu shots have been delayed. You know why? Because they didn't have enough serum. Huh. Well, anyway, they've changed it about 3 weeks later. So come on over and get your flu shot. And next Sunday afternoon, blessing of the animals. If you'd like a pet that's to be blessed, come on over. We did this a few years ago. It's St. Francis of Assisi Day. That's where he's the patron saint of animals. We did this 5 or 6 years ago, and you know what? We had maybe 20, 25 animals. The animals behaved better than the people did. So it's nice to worship together. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for calling us to this place this morning. Your Spirit has moved throughout the ages and touched each one of us. We try and figure out who you are and how you operate and how we can respond to your love. We try to understand our place in this world, and so we gather Sunday mornings and in Bible studies. We read Scripture to find out how you've moved through the past and what your story is. Remind us today that you love us and we are called to be your spokespeople for peace in the world and love. We are called to be open to others. And so send your Spirit today to stir our hearts and draw us close to you, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Our opening hymn this morning is 742, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse.
Thank you.
Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God whose name is majestic in all the earth, who rescues and heals in every time of trouble, who does all things well.
Amen.
Let us come before God seeking forgiveness and life. Let's take a moment for silent confession. Let us confess together, steadfast and saving God, have mercy on us. We confess to you all the ways we turn from you and harm one another. In your compassion, forgive our sins and heal our hurts. Bring forth from us a harvest of righteousness, the fruits of gentleness and peacemaking, the sheaves of wisdom and justice, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, receive mercy and find grace in your time of need. Your transgressions are forgiven. God's love is healing balm for your wounds. Rejoice, for God raises you up to new life in Christ.
Amen.
Let us join in the prayer of the day. Generous God, your Son gave his life that we might come to peace with you. Give us a share of your Spirit. And in all we do, empower us to bear the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated as we invite the bell choir to lead How Great Thou Art. Thank you. I was wondering, how long has the bell been playing now? 6 or 7 years? No, we're getting older. We're going to receive Mary Braun as our new member today. But I just thought I would remind you of our mission statements on the front of our bulletins. We will live and serve through faith. We will act with love and kindness. We will give hope and support to all. On the last Sunday of the month, we received new members, so I'm going to ask Mary to come forward now. Mary, yes?
The rafters aren't falling in.
No, but I think he's given you one last chance. We've asked you to come forward at this time, not to stand as before an audience, but to take a moment to be in the central place in the midst of our congregation. This is our way of celebrating your official uniting with us as fellow servers of Christ Jesus and co-members of Bethesda Lutheran Church. Further, you're in our midst that all of us may have an opportunity to associate your name with your face. Mary is one of our secretaries and also is going to be our new treasurer. So it's important that we get to know who you are. You have confessed the acceptance of and the beliefs outlined in the creeds, and you have been baptized in the name of the one triune God. You are coming to us because you want to be a member, and so what remains is for us to accept you and for you to become a real part of us. If this mutual acceptance is a ceremony only, it's not real, and we won't genuinely be the church together. Therefore, I'd like to outline something of the covenant into which we're now entering. We have expectations of you. You have expectations of us. And the roof won't fall down, Mary. Okay. We expect that in every way you will strive to become more and more a responsible, responsive member of Bethesda Lutheran Church of Malmo, as you daily strive to become a more acceptable child of God. This means that we expect to find you at worship and at the Lord's table with us regularly and frequently, that you will avail yourself of certain of our educational programs, that you'll be open to involvement in our servant forms of ministry in and beyond the congregation, that you'll assume a leadership role when possible, that you'll set aside a responsible portion of your income for the financial support of our ministry in and beyond Malmo. What you may expect of us, your fellow members, is that we will provide you with every feasible opportunity for spiritual, personal, and social growth. To facilitate this, we will share with you all of our congregational resources, material, human, and divine. In your times of decision and stress, you may expect us to be by your side. You may expect us to want to be with you in your times of celebration and joy. From your pastor, you may expect sincere preaching, informed teaching, and always his willingness to listen and share himself with you. So what we give you as our fellow member is our trust, and we expect yours in return. So understanding now what is the content of the covenant which we sealed together with you becoming members with us, to accept our invitation to membership and all its implications, if so, say yes with the help of God and my fellow members. And you, the continuing members of Bethesda Lutheran Church of Malmo, who've now been reminded of your responsibilities, do you accept Mary as your fellow member? So say, yes, we do with joy.
Yes, we do with joy.
And so upon these mutual understandings then, you're now a full member of Bethesda Lutheran Church. Holy smokes. And we look forward to you being wonderful participant with us. You're joining a wonderful congregation. Welcome. Yeah. Good.
The first reading today is from James 5, verses 13 through 20. Marks of the Christian community include praying for those who are sick and in need, celebrating with those in good health, restoring those who have strayed, and confessing sins to one another and offering forgiveness to each other. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if any one of you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Please read responsively with me Psalm 19, verses 7 through 14. And when you see the bold R, please read, "The commitment of the Lord gives light to the eyes." The teaching of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the simple. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The commandment of the Lord gives light to the eyes. By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward. Above all, keep my servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of a great offense.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. The commandment of the Lord
gives light to the eyes. Please rise for the reading of the Gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this 18th Sunday after Pentecost is found in the 9th chapter of St. Mark. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus teaches his disciples about ministry that involves service and sacrifice. His disciples are slow to realize that these words apply to them as well as to others. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched." The word of God. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, "I Love to Tell the Story."
Oh,
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Teacher, said John, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he wasn't one of us. Don't stop him, Jesus says, for no one who does a miracle in my name can the next moment speak evil of us. For whoever's not against us is for us. What a message this is for our society. Whoever's not against us is for us. That's not the current trend in our society these days, have you noticed? It's us against them. It's Democrats versus Republicans. It's illegal immigrants versus native-born descendants of immigrants. It's Christians against Muslims. It's fundamentalists against the scientists. Pick your side and get ready for a brawl. That's the kind of attitude we have in the world today. Heard a great story. It seems a certain Baptist church in Atlanta, Georgia, used to have a problem with parking. You notice I say used to. Nearby were two other places of worship, a Roman Catholic cathedral and an Episcopal cathedral, and parking was hard to find because all three were quite big churches. The trouble was the Roman Catholic church and the Episcopal church met before the Baptist church, so every time the Baptists came to church, their parking lot was full. They got a little upset about that. So one day, someone had a brainchild. They came up with a solution. Members of the Baptist church spent one Sunday morning going around to all those cars and putting on bumper stickers saying, "I'm proud to be a Southern Baptist." Needless to say, the Roman Catholics and the Episcopals stopped parking there. I'm proud to be a Southern Baptist. That stopped them. It's us against them, isn't it, in this world? I can just see John saying, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he's not one of us." Don't stop him, Jesus says. No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about us. If you're not against us, you're for us. Isn't that just like Jesus? Doesn't he know that we like to huddle up in our own little groups, suburbs versus inner city, black, white, Hispanic, Anglo, Indian, gays, straights, tattooed, beards. Beards. Anyone who doesn't look like us or talk like us or think like us, they're on the outside looking in. We like people who have the same kind of values. We like to hang out with people who think like us and experience and see life like us. Jesus says, don't stop him, for no one who does a miracle in my name in the next moment can say anything bad about me. Whoever is not against us is for us. The most natural thing in the world is to prefer people who are like you. Sociologists, one of my degrees was a degree in sociology, they call this ethnocentrism. People prefer people who are like them. That's all that means. We're uncomfortable around people who are different. It makes no difference how they are different. Anyone who's different, we don't really like to be around them. A few years back when everyone dressed in their Sunday best, remember those days? Someone who came in jeans, holy smokes, they were looked down on. Today in churches where casual dress is the norm, a person who comes in a suit, Jerry. they might make some people uncomfortable. We like people who are like us, who look like us, who dress like us, who come from the same kind of families like us, who share our values. It's the most normal thing in the world for people to prefer people who are like them. Problem comes when discomfort turns to opposition, when discomfort turns to persecution even. Do you remember Bishop Fulton Sheen back in the 50s and 60s and 17? He was a bishop in the Roman Catholic Church, New York City. He was an outstanding preacher, had a radio and television show. He tells an interesting story about denominational conflicts. He had to walk from his domain in working in New York City on a residence. He walked past 8th Street near Park Avenue to his office that was near the Empire State Building. On the way, he passed the old John Pierpont Morgan residence, the ultra-rich banker. The Lutherans had bought the J.P. Morgan old home, and they were adding a 5-story office building. Well, one day he's walking by, and one of the hard hat workers recognized Sheen, and he yelled down to him, "What do you think of us Catholics putting up a building for these lousy Methodists?" And Sheen hollers up, "They're not Methodists, they're Lutherans, and Lutherans are friends of ours." And then the hard hat guy hollered up to the guy on the 5th floor. He says, "All right, boys, you can put the rivets in." Rivets, of course, hold the building together. Sheen, of course, is making a little joke, but there's no joke about all the mischief that has been done through the ages in the name of religion, in the name of Christianity. I mean, we recoil at the actions of ISIS, but they're no more barbaric than some of the atrocities committed by Protestants and Roman Catholics against one another through the ages. If you study history, you see that. There's been a lot of harm done in the name of religion. Among our duties as followers of Jesus is to bring peace to the world. We follow one who has been called the Prince of Peace. Huh? Here's what our text tells us to think about it. He says, what happens when we cannot get along among ourselves? That's what we should be thinking. What happens if we can't get along? Today we're going to have our church meeting. What happens if we can't get along? Jesus tells us we are the body of Christ. The body should get along, should do his work. We should be of one mind. As we gather, you heard the mission statement. We will live and serve through faith. We will act in love and kindness. We'll give hope and support to all. Is everybody someone in this church? Does everybody have an opinion? Can we respect it? Our Pope, Francis. He had a universal message of peace this week, and he shared some universal messages like we shouldn't be having the death penalty, and we can discuss that and talk about it. We should respect life of everybody. He rubbed the heads of kids of every denomination, every nationality, regardless of religion. The Pope gave a message of hope. We're all in this together. There was a story in the Associated Press a while back. Here's how it read. It said, tens of thousands of people packed St. Peter's Square in the Vatican to hear Pope Francis pray for peace in Ukraine. The ceremony was topped by the release of 2 white doves. Unfortunately, a seagull and a crow attacked the symbols of peace. Isn't that a metaphor of life in today's world? Who's going to show us the way out? I hope it's going to be the people of God that will lead and bring us to peace once and for all. Our lesson for today shows the disciples acting territorial. They were jealously guarding their claim to represent Jesus. Now, on one level, that's understandable. In that day and time, the disciples of a rabbi often spoke for the rabbi. They were the only ones trained with the rabbi. They were only ones called to speak for the rabbi. They were responsible for carrying on the teachings of the rabbi. And so they identified not only themselves, but as one of the rabbi spokespeople. That's the nature of the relationship between disciples and rabbis. And it's an exclusive one. It'd be an invasion for anyone else to use the name and even the teachings of a particular rabbi if they weren't authorized by him to do so. So the disciples of Jesus encounter this man using Jesus' name to cast out demons. He wasn't authorized to do so. And this offends the disciples. And they tell him to stop. And the disciple John tells Jesus what they had done. It wasn't that the disciples had found any misuse of Jesus' name on the part of the man. They didn't see anything wrong with his background that they told him to swap. They just felt he shouldn't be doing this because he wasn't authorized. So the disciples felt they owned the Jesus franchise and no one else should be using it. So Jesus said to the disciples, stop hindering this guy. No one can perform a miracle in his name and then speak badly of him afterwards. Jesus' acceptance of this man was reinforced when he said, "Whoever's not against us is for us." Though this man didn't follow Jesus in exactly the same way, in the capacity of the disciples, he nevertheless followed Jesus. Some of us in this congregation have Jehovah Witnesses friends. Janine, Ivan, Karen and I, we have Jehovah Witnesses friends, and they're marvelous people. They do things a little different, but they're good people. It's okay. We're all in this together. If people are doing good, support them, care for them. You don't have to be Lutheran. You don't have to be Presbyterian or Roman Catholic or, you know, you can be Muslim. You can be whatever. If we're making a world better, if we're making a place of peace. Verse 41, the disciples, or Jesus broadens his words to include all others besides those disciples. If they want to cast out demons, that's okay. If they want to use the name of Jesus and do something good, that's okay. Even one who performs the smallest act of hospitality in his name, such as giving water to someone, that's okay. They won't lose their reward, Jesus says. Jesus had no interest in awarding exclusive franchises in his name. His desire was to make relationships well, to make them whole. He didn't want to cause divisions between people. He brought people together. I think the Pope did that this week. We are those called to bring Christ's peace to the world, you and me, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our community, in our state, in our nation, in our world. How can we bring peace if we're a world at strife? How can we bring peace if we're torn up inside ourselves? We've got to be of the right mindset. One last story. Some of you might know the story behind Christ of the Andes. You know that big Jesus statue that stands between Chile and Argentina? 1899, the people of Argentina and Chile were posed for war. The Argentine bishop appealed for peace between the two countries. The Chilean bishop took up the cause, and the dispute was settled by King Edward VII, whose decision made things well. What they decided was they would take all the unused guns and cannons from Chile, all the unused guns and cannons from Argentina, melt them down and build this statue of Christ. And they erected it on the mountain range between the two countries. That's our legacy as Christ's followers. We're called to be peacemakers. We're called to love and care and support and help each other on the journey of life. And it's my prayer that we might be representatives of peace wherever we travel, with all people everywhere. Something for us to ponder this day. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. Let's join together in singing the offertory song, "O Savior, Precious Savior." We'll invite our ushers to receive our morning offering. Please rise and let us turn to the offertory prayer on the top of page 5. Let's join in this prayer together. Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. Made alive with God in Christ, we pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. God of all wisdom and truth, send your Spirit on all your people, opening our mouths to prophesy and speak truth to one another. Give us words that make your will known. Lord, in your mercy, uphold farmers and field workers who harvest as night grows longer and days get colder. Use their labor to deliver sustenance to humans and animals. Lord, in your mercy, lead public servants and government officials to work on behalf of all people. Send advocates to halls of justice and guide legislation that breaks the bonds of injustice. Lord, in your mercy, redeem all who are in trouble or danger. Be with those who are ill. We especially remember in our prayers this morning Minnie Gilbert, Bill Johnson, Carol Bipes, Ron and Carol Haas, Marie Berman, Bev Fertelman. Be with Mary Long. Watch over Ryan and Christy Stelmark as they mourn the loss of their baby. Be with Ross and Joan Niskanen as they mourn the loss of Ross's mother. And Lord, smile upon those in our lives who need your healing touch. Speak healing words to them. Restore them to wholeness, that praise may flow from their lips. Lord, in your mercy, fill those who are hungry with good things. Enfold those who are weary in communities where their bodies and souls may be fed. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings these past years. And we pray, O Lord, that your wisdom and spirit might be with us in the coming year. Grant each one of us who gather at our annual general meeting to have a heart of faith, seeking to follow you and your leadership. And Lord, if you would draw close to those loved ones in our lives who need your help, we'd especially ask that you'd do that. You have drawn your people into one great community. Show us the same faithfulness you have shown your saints throughout the ages, and lead us to live life faithfully. Lord, in your mercy, gather these concerns and all who are in need into your abundant care, O God, remembering your promise of mercy through Christ our Lord. Let's join in singing the Lord's Prayer this morning.
Thank you.
Like children in the arms of Jesus, receive blessing. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace. Remember the poor.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is a Christmas hymn. Go Tell It on the Mountain, 290.